Welcome, Vic. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Elaine.
Let's talk right away about your new book. I know it has had an interesting publication evolution. Talk about that and talk about what made you write it.
Matanzas Bay is a new mystery suspense novel that I've published under the name Parker Francis. And you're right, it did have a long evolution. I actually started this back in 2005, and it won several awards before it was even published. It won the Josiah Bancroft Award in 2007 that was judged by David Poyer, noted author. And David was very, very valuable in giving me some great critiques, which I used in future rewrites. And then in 2009, it won the Royal Palm Literary Award that the Florida Writers Conference Association does, and it won the Best Mystery, and then it was selected as the Book of the Year in the unpublished category. And from that award, I was able to get an agent, and we shopped it all around and finally decided that the best route would be for me to go ahead and publish the book myself, which I did, and it's done very well as both an ebook and a print book as well. And it's totally different than my other three books that I've written, which I call adventure fantasies. And they have a different kind of a protagonist. Those books all have a cat as a protagonist. And this is a contemporary murder mystery. It's set in St. Augustine, Florida.
Now, first, why the decision to write under a pen name?
Well, that's a good question. I get that all the time. And I guess the main reason is that my Windrusher trilogy, the cat books, have a lot of very young readers. Not very, very young, but, you know, middle grade on up. And I just didn't want to confuse that with these new series I was doing, which are definitely adult murder mysteries. And so I thought one way to do that would be to write them under a pen name. But I've been telling all of my readers of the Windrusher books about the mystery, and many of them have gone out and bought it. The adults have.
All right. Now, I know this story is very compelling and multi-layered. How did you conceive the story?
Well, it's interesting because I was actually writing the second in my Windrusher series when an image of this character that I'd written for the second Windrusher book, Windrusher and the Cave of Thohoth, in which my feline protagonist is catnapped from his backyard and taken all the way to the south of California. And the family hires a private detective to try and find this cat. And that character was Quint Mitchell, who is the main character in Matanzas Bay. Well, in fleshing out Quint's resume, I gave him an interest in archaeology. And it never really came into play during that Windrusher book, but as I was writing, I had this image of Quint digging up this body while on an archaeological survey. And I kept pushing it away and pushing it away and kept writing the Windrusher book. And finally, when I finished that book, I started thinking about it and asking myself some of those what-if questions, and Matanzas Bay was the end result of it. And this book starts out with Quint helping his friend, the city archaeologist of St. Augustine, in a survey right in the downtown area, historical district, and he indeed unearths the body of the St. Augustine vice mayor. And so after that, things really take off, as you can imagine.
Here at the conference, you gave us a talk on heroes, mentors, and shapeshifters. Okay, what are the top five tips you'd share with writers on how to grow and develop characters?
Well, this particular workshop was based on Christopher Vogler's book, The Writer's Journey. And we went through in the workshop the various stages of the writer's journey from the departure to the call to adventure and moving on. And then we talked a good bit about seven basic archetypes. And from the hero to the mentor, the herald, the trickster, the shapeshifter, and the shadow. And one of the main points I was getting across is as these character archetypes are not necessarily restricted to one character, but they should be looked at as masks, as any character could wear. So your hero at any time could be a mentor to another character, or could take on a trickster persona, or even a shadow when he's doing something he shouldn't do.
What is a shapeshifter?
A shapeshifter is a character, an archetypal character that basically causes confusion, that the hero, the protagonist, can't really get a grasp on it. And often the shapeshifter is of the female gender. And if you have a male hero, that's taken for granted, because men don't know anything about women, right? So we don't understand them. So a lot of times in noir books, you know, the Maltese Falcon, the Big Sleep, in movies, Body Heat, Chinatown, the shapeshifter is a female character who is throughout most of it is looked at one way, and at the end turns out to be actually the villain, if you will.
Oh, now there are classic archetypes, but in our day and age, are there more modern archetypes?
Oh, certainly, because the archetypes that Vogler writes about can be brought into contemporary times very easily. Again, they're just basically masks that any character can wear.
And with your sort of evolution and story from, you know, creation to publication, what are the top three tips you'd share with an aspiring writer who wants to get something published?
Well, before any writer can think about publishing, they have to learn their craft. I think it was Ray Bradbury who said the first million words don't count, which means you have to do a lot of writing, do a lot of reading, see what really works. So work on your craft. Come to terrific writers' conferences like the Florida Writers Association conference. Attend workshops in your area. Read how-to books and write. Write a lot. And the more you write, the better you'll get. And, you know, writing is a craft, a learned craft like anything else. So that's what I'd say. So once you master the craft, or probably we never master it, but get better at it, that's when you can start thinking about getting an agent, finding an editor, an acquiring editor, a publishing house, etc. Too many people, especially now with e-publishing that's taken off so well, want to jump right in and start selling. And so they independently publish for Kindle or for the Nook, and they're very disappointed by the results, because what they have put out there for the world to see is something that is maybe a beginning writer would do. And you can't fool the readers. Even if you're giving it away free or for 99 cents, you get a couple of those one-star reviews just ripping your writing, you know, you might as well call it quits.
Well, that's really sage advice. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Vic.
Thank you, Elaine. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be on your program.